finance program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Did you know that driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal? Driving high will get you a DUI. And if you're wondering if law enforcement can tell you're driving high, well, everyone else can. Friends?
I can tell you drove high.
Parents?
I can tell when you drive high.
Relatives?
I can tell. You drove here high, didn't you?
So what makes you think law enforcement can't?
I can tell.
If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, says they're looking into reports of bullying as a factor into a possible motive for the mass shooting at a private Christian school yesterday. Police say the 15-year-old shooter was a female student. Vaccine skeptic RFK Jr. back on Capitol Hill, meeting with senators trying to gain support to head Health and Human Services. ABC's Catherine Falders with the latest.
Kennedy is going up to the Hill. He's facing this mix of support, curiosity, skepticism, and at times downright rejection among senators up on Capitol Hill. So he's had to sometimes make a different pitch behind closed doors to various different senators who, frankly, might be worried about different things that Kennedy has said.
The woman who attempted to stow away on an international flight out of JFK Airport has been arrested again, this time in Buffalo, yesterday, trying to leave the country on a Greyhound bus, police say. Svetlana Dali, due in federal court in Niagara County this afternoon. This is ABC News. Most cars already have a warning sound if those in the front seat don't buckle up. Pretty soon, those in the back will hear it too.
If you find this sound annoying when you get in the car and don't buckle up, be prepared to even be more annoyed at your passengers in the next few years. Starting in September of 2027, all new passenger vehicles in the U.S. will be required to have a sound warning of those riding in the back seat if they don't buckle up. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates the new rule will save up to 50 lives a year and prevent 500 injuries when fully in effect. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
More than 44,000 Christmas tree light controllers have been recalled due to potential fire risk. The wireless decorative remote controller was sold at Cracker Barrel, Target, and Walmart stores online from July to November. Customers should stop using them immediately and return them for a refund. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The suspected shooter in the fatal shooting at a Madison school has been identified. Police say 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow brought a handgun into a mixed-grade study hall classroom at Abundant Life Christian School late Monday morning. A second grader called 911 to report the shooting. A teacher and a teenage student were killed in the shooting. Rupnow, who went by the name Samantha, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police Chief Sean Barnes said the shooter was already dead when officers entered the building. Six others were injured from the gunfire, including two with life-threatening injuries. Barnes says they're still working to find a motive for the shooting, adding that the shooter's parents are cooperating with police during the investigation.
As soon as we are done with the investigation, any information that we uncover that will not compromise the safety of anyone involved or compromise the confidentiality of any of these children that are involved, we'll tell you.
The chief adds that the entire Madison community is feeling the impact.
It is a day that I believe will live in our collective minds for a very, very long time.
Madison officials are stressing the need to ask for and provide help in the wake of the tragic school shooting. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway.
If anyone needs mental health support as a result of this incident and the coverage of it, I encourage them to reach out to 988 by phone or text. It is incredibly important that we take care of our community in this very difficult time.
Dane County Executive Melissa Agard.
To all of those who are grieving in our community, please know that you're not alone. Dane County stands with you. We're here to support you in any way possible. Please reach out and ask for help.
Abundant Life Christian School was founded in 1978 and serves about 420 children in grades pre-kindergarten through 12. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Snow on the way in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Cloudy throughout the day today. Snow developing late this afternoon. Highs upper 20s. West winds at 5 to 15. Tonight, 70% chance of snow. Lows near 19. Tomorrow, decreasing clouds. Highs near 20. Be listing for Durand, Arkansas boys basketball tonight. The Panthers at Plum City Elmwood. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 7. Tip off at 7:15. Here on WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
Another tough day in the grain market. Soybeans and bean oil led the way to the downside. But hey, wheat and corn, they seem to be willing followers in today's trade. Live cattle mixed. Feeder cattle shot sharply higher. And lean hog futures ended the day with modest losses.
Live with about a nickel's worth of cents via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with the Brinestein. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us. It was just kind of one of those days where you look at what happened in the grains. Corn, like it just didn't have any gumption. Penny to 2 pennies lower. Yeah. Soybeans, 5 to 10 cents lower. Wheat, 6-8 cents lower. It was just kind of a ugly day. We'll get Brian Grady's take on that here at the bottom of, or coming up in the next segment. So lots happening. Lots happening. And trying to figure out exactly what the status is of the continuing resolution. It sounds like I think there is general agreement on the language for this thing moving forward. I'm just not exactly sure when the vote's going to take place.
All right.
Have you heard anything on it?
I've heard nothing, and I'm skeptical. Yeah. I'm not as optimistic as you are. Nope, not at all.
Well, they got to do... Well, no.
They don't.
They don't have to do anything by Friday, but I think it's trending in the right direction. I think
you're right. So yeah, we're at least talking about it as much as we usually do. That's got to be good for something, right?
Right.
It keeps popping up.
Yep. It's not, you know, we take a look at what's happening in this bean market, and it is definitely not trending in the right directions. New contract lows today. We'll get a take on that from Matt and talk about what it might mean for us going forward with Brian coming up in a bit. All right, man, you got the markets ready to go?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. Wheat futures closed lower and below the opening range for a fourth consecutive session, Chip. That's a clear sign that downside momentum is building. Chart watchers are targeting support at the December 4 low of 540 and one quarter in March soft red winter wheat futures. Today's price pressure came despite dwindling crop potential in Russia. Sovecon says Russian wheat crop conditions are, quote, the worst in decades. That was offset by generally good conditions in Ukraine and expectations of bigger production in France. March HRW wheat futures today 6 3/4 lower, 552.5. March SRW wheat down a nickel, 545. March spring wheat closed at 595, down a nickel on the day, Chip.
Man, I tell you, it's just really different. The world's biggest wheat exporter is Russia. The worst crop conditions in decades, according to Sovecon, and that's not good for a penny or two to the upside? I just, man, I don't know anybody that wants to step onto the buy side of that wheat market right now.
Doesn't make a nickel's worth of sense, does it, Chip?
No, it doesn't.
USDA this morning announced the sale of just over 170,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to Mexico in the current marketing year. That demand news was offset by improving South American corn crop expectations and by spillover selling from soybeans. Corn futures also found support from word that language allowing nationwide year-round availability of E15 will be included in the continuing resolution spending measure, which will be passed by Congress this week. March corn spiked resistance at yesterday's high and then fell back to close below the opening range. March corn futures were a penny and a half lower, 443.5. May corn down 1 3/4 cents to 450. July corn futures closed at 453.25, down 1 3/4 cents. Chip, we stopped the May at 450 there.
Yeah, and here's another thing that I was struggling with as the show was opening. Okay, there are reports out there that the E15 availability, year-round availability nationwide, is a new subsidy for corn-based ethanol. No, it's not.
What?
It is not a new subsidy for corn-based ethanol. It is the removal of a restrictive policy language that then makes E15 available year-round across the nation. It is not a new subsidy for ethanol. Wow.
Well, USDA this morning reported the sale of 187,000 metric tons of soybeans to Spain and the sale of 132,000 tons of beans to unknown destinations. Demand news has been good this week, but not good enough to offset pressure from expected good bean crops in South America. Sharp declines in soybean oil futures also pulled bean prices to the downside. January soybeans opened slightly higher, but fell to post a new contract low. January soybeans 5 1/4 cents lower, 976 3/4. March beans down 7 1/4 to 978 3/4. July beans closed at 997.5, down 9 3/4 on the day.
Yeah, January bean oil down 110 points today, 40.62. That was plenty of weight on the bean market.
Well, Chip, March cotton futures are also building downside momentum, with chart watchers targeting the August 16 low of 67.90. March cotton today was 37 points lower at 68.69. On your livestock's heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices traded 43 cents higher against a 53-cent loss for select graded beef this morning. That left live cattle futures mixed. February live cattle down 22.5, 189.75. January feeders up a buck 92.5 to 257.47.5. And front month lean hogs posted an inside trading day with the high range open and a low range close. Feb lean hogs down 35 on the day, 83.20. Chip.
Excellent. Thank you, Davis. Matt Bennett, AgMarket.net. How you doing, Matt? Good afternoon.
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. You know, instead of focusing on what's going on in the futures, what's happening in the cash market east of the Mississippi?
Well, you know, you look last week, for instance, and you got up to that 451. We hit it, you know, like a brick wall. A lot of us kind of felt like that might be the case. We were hoping maybe we could push through it. But, you know, the thing that you saw as soon as you pushed up on that, you know, a lot of your basis levels really widened out. I mean, it made it, I mean, I'm going to say really widened out. You look like, for instance, Decatur, you know, they widened out around 6 cents. Hereford yesterday went from a buck 10 over to a buck over. you know, you're starting to see, obviously, a fair amount of corn moving, and there's no doubt that 440 and then 450 certainly shook loose some bushels. So I don't know, Chip. I think that if you get that above 450 type move everyone's kind of hoping for, you know, sooner or later, it's going to be a law of diminishing returns, I'm afraid, because I do think there'll be a lot of bushels that'll reward it. Basis will weaken.
Okay. All right. Yep. Something that I think a lot of us are watching for in that corn market. Beans, dude, new contract lows, ugly.
Trust me, I know. The whole time you guys were talking, I thought, do you guys have anything positive you could possibly say, you know, and nothing. I mean, cotton, beans, wheat, corn, just terrible. But beans is the stalwart, in my opinion. The thing about it is beans, you know, like, for instance, corn. You could make a little bit of a case based on that December report. Maybe you get a little legs for corn, at least stabilize it somewhat. But I'm worried that beans are going to be an anchor because it's just too freaking bearish.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that's not our fault, right? I mean, we just do what the markets tell
us. Hey, that's what I always say when I'm out speaking. It's not my fault, guys. Don't throw stuff at me.
Somewhere a puppy is being rescued from a well. I'm sure of it. How's that?
Matt Bennett, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Later, guys.
All right, Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Brian Grady, editor, Pro Farmer, next. Joining us now, Jim Franchetti. He is a product marketing manager at Case IH Parts and Services. Jim, farmers are always looking for opportunities to extend the life of their farm equipment, especially as farm expenses rise. How does Case IH Parts and Service recommend that farmers maximize the performance of lifespan of their equipment lineup?
Yeah, I think it all starts with using genuine Case IH parts and lubrication and filters, and also making sure that you're maintaining your equipment with preventative maintenance and following the preventative schedule that's outlined in the operator's manual. I think another good thing to consider is taking the equipment in to your local Case IH dealership for inspections. They can help you put together a preventative maintenance package and also recommend some of those wear parts that you may need to take care of to prevent bigger issues in the future.
Okay, excellent, Jim. And I know you mentioned some of it, but what OEM products do you recommend from Case IH?
Yeah, as far as lubricants goes, definitely recommend Case IH number one engine oil, our Hi-Tran premium transmission fluid, as well as the extended life OAT coolant. In addition to some of the fluids and filters that we recommend, also consider the OEM replacement parts for some of those wear parts that you need to replace following each season of use.
Excellent, Jim. Where can customers go for more information?
Your local Case IH dealership, they are your best resources for parts and fluids and recommendations, as well as visiting mytnhstore.com.
Excellent, Jim. Thank you so much. That is Jim Franchetti, Product Marketing Manager at Case IH Parts and Service.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Case IH. Keep it genuine. Case IH genuine parts and lubricants are specifically engineered, tested, and proven for your Case IH equipment. Visit your Case IH dealer to learn more.
Just keep your nose above the water, man. That's all I'm asking. Keep your nose above
the
water.
Trick?
That is the absolute trick. Yes.
I just got a text. But, I just got a text. It says, subscriber, colon. Yeah. Davis, your energy bill is higher than usual. Elon's new heater will slash your heating bill to $0. Try it by clicking here.
No.
Good
don't
people.
Click.
Good people, dude. I hope that you are agreeing with Chip. Davis, don't click it.
Don't
click it.
Click
little
that.
Public service here. I don't know how they got my name. And actually, we've been watching our energy consumption here. Our energy bill is actually down because we work very carefully to be careful with our energy bills. So
awesome.
Clearly, awesome. It's absolutely fraudulent. Yeah. That's it.
Awesome.
That's the update.
Yeah, well, that's a good.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. PSA right there. Public service.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer, is our guest analyst today. Beej, how's it going, man?
Great. I'm not sure exactly what you guys were talking about there. Not sure I want to know, but don't click anything.
I can forward it to you if you want to click it on your phone, Beej.
No.
Tell us what happens.
I don't know. I don't click any of that stuff.
Brian barely replies to emails. Oh, no, wait. That's you, Davis.
That's me.
That's you.
Me. I don't even read them.
Oh, man. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Oh, Brian, here we are at the end of another year. What are you working on here?
Well, this week's Pro Farmer, we got the last issue. We name our Ag Person event and story of the year, and so that will be on News Page 4 this week, and that's always a fun one. One, it gives us an opportunity to look back over the past year and what really influenced the ag markets, agriculture in general, just the everything. And there's always some good stories and some that aren't so good, and along with people that make a difference and events that influence whether it's policy, markets, yep. You name it. And so that's always a fun one. And then on the inside news pages, we always take opportunity to do outlook on the six commodity markets, corn, beans, yep. wheat, cattle, hogs, and cotton that we cover. And so that's fun to look forward into the new year.
Yep, absolutely. You know, one thing is we look forward to 2025, which, man, that seems weird to say, but forward into 2025, and I don't know, obviously, I don't know exactly what the story of the year is going to be, but I'll almost guarantee it's going to have something to do with what will be President Trump, don't you think?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, that's a pretty big story and an event all unto itself. And yeah. And he's a bold one.
Well, you know, and there are lots of things that we need to watch from the administration as we get deeper into 2025 that are going to have an impact on the markets. I mean, I'm thinking about biofuels policy. I'm thinking about tariffs. There's a number of things that we need to watch very closely.
Oh, definitely. You know, I here, buckle up, here we go type of deal.
Yep.
Trump 2.0. And so, that will be one. You never know what the story of the year will be at this point, for next year, but, I would say that, you know, Trump probably has, an inside track on being at least a portion of it in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly. All right. Give me your take on how the grains are trading right now. What is going on here?
Well, I'll start with soybeans, I guess. Start with the worst and work up from there, right? Okay. So do the absolute worst and new contract lows today, and just a breakdown. And I think that part of what's happening in soybeans is the Trump factor. We're factoring in a worst case scenario ahead of January 20th, and what happens if Trump does slap 60% tariffs on China, and what does that do to soybean trade and those types of things? And part of that has allowed us to ignore what has gone on fundamentally, and the fact that the export demand has been really strong as Chinese buyers ramp up some purchases ahead of Trump taking office again. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's probably easier to do when you have ending stocks projected at 470 million bushels and more than ample supply, record global ending stocks for soybeans, a record Brazilian crop is just around the corner. And so, when you have those types of fundamentals, it's easy to look to the negatives and ignore some of the positives that we have.
Right. Right. Hey, what's this story coming out of China about some of the crushers being short bought on beans?
Well, if you remember back to earlier in this year, China tried to encourage more domestic consumption, and so they wanted to slow down the foreign purchases. And it sounds like Bloomberg reported late yesterday or early this morning, whichever way you want to look at it, that some of these customs delays are causing some of the crushers in southern Brazil to be short bought on some of their needs. They're not necessarily short bought, short in supply from a short term perspective. And probably not a major deal, I don't think, from a long term fundamental perspective. China's having some issues getting the soybeans that they purchased into the hands of the crushers in southern areas.
Is that maybe a sign that this bean market has gotten about as tough as it's going to get?
Well, I think so. Like I mentioned, too, that we're factoring in all the negatives on the Trump side of things and everything. And it almost seems like a worst-case scenario is building right now. So, well, we made new contract lows today, and you know, we're fully sub $10 at the moment in the futures, and it all looks doom and gloom. Typically, market experience over the years is when that everything looks one way or another, it's about the time you put in tops or bottoms, and in this case, it would be a bottom in the marketplace.
Yeah, even that July contract closed under $10 today. That's no fun right there for guys.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, it just, it's one of those deals where we have to probably flush out the bottom here and find a low and maybe get some sort of upward movement. Now, with all that said, I think the corn probably has to lead to the upside. I don't think soybeans will be a leader market just because of, those carryover numbers that I talked about domestically and globally.
All right. I know earlier you were leaning to more corn acres in 2025. Has that changed?
No, I think so. We'll see how stuff always changes a little bit through the winter months. But I just feel like we have plenty of beans. So if anything, the bean market's telling us, hey, don't go out and plant a lot of extra beans.
Right.
Now, with that said, that isn't always what the producer does, but they don't always necessarily listen to the market signals. But I think if you can see corn separate to the upside and soybeans just kind of hang around where they're at, then I think that you will get some more corn acres as we move through the winter months. But there's still a long time before planting here in the United States, obviously.
Yeah, corn market's got to prove to us that we can still get some demand in here above 450. Do you think we can?
Well, USDA made some pretty big moves. I know you were out last week, but, they cut ending stocks, slashed ending stocks, 200 million bushels, and they raised both exports, 150 million bushels, and ethanol use, 50 million bushels. So we were advocating for both of those moves, just not to the degree that USDA did. And so that surprised us. And now at just over 1.7 million, billion bushels, the ending stocks aren't burdensome, and we're a little bit more of a demand adjustment away from being borderline tight. And so I think that corn has by far the better set of fundamentals than soybeans and wheat for that matter as well.
Okay. Year-round availability of E15 and the CR, how good a news might that be?
Oh, it's probably more psychological than it is actual fundamental impacting, to be honest with you. The actual demand, when you break it down, it adds some, but it isn't like fundamentally changing in the marketplace. But from a psychological perspective, this is one that ethanol's been fighting for quite some time, and so if you win on this front, that industry hasn't had a whole lot of wins here recently. And so kind of feather in the cap type of stuff.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, we need to talk a little bit more about the outlook on the grains. What is the role of the wheat market in the grain outlook right now? That's where we're going to start when we come back. Then we're going to jump over. We got cattle on feed report at the end of the week. We've got a quarterly hogs and pigs report coming up. We'll get Brian's take on what to expect from those. That's next here on AgriTalk.
Markets in Music City. It has a nice ring to it. That's why we want you to meet us in Nashville for the AgMarket.net Farm and Co-Profit Not Price Conference, February 2nd and 3rd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel, with presentations geared toward risk management, a market outlook, technical analysis, and more. All while socializing some of the top analysts and producers around the country just steps from Broadway. Give us a call to register at 844-4-AG-MRKT or head to AgMarket.net. There's a risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 6¾ cents lower at 552.5. March SRW wheat down a nickel, 545. March corn futures were 1½ cents lower at 443.5. July corn futures closed at 453¼, down 1¾ cents. January soybean futures were 5¼ cents lower at 976¾. March beans down 7¼ to 978¾. March cotton today was 37 points lower at 68.69. On your livestocks, February fat cattle down 22.5 to 189.75. January feeders up $1.92.5 to 257.47½. February lean hogs down 35 to 83.20. Get more. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of lawn and garden equipment. Visit Anibis Silo, Highway 25, Durand, for your lawn and garden equipment needs.
Amplify Health by Gunderson Mondovi Clinic is pleased to welcome our newest family medicine provider, Taylor Anderson, physician assistant, and her family medicine team.
Hi, I'm Taylor Anderson, a certified physician assistant, and I'm thrilled to join Amplify Health by Gunderson and serve the community of Mondovi. I look forward to providing primary health care for patients of all ages.
The Mondovi Clinic is part of Gunderson Tri-County Hospital and Clinics and is your trusted partner in health care when you need it. Call us at 715-926-1113 to schedule an appointment with Taylor Anderson.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures staying below freezing in the low 30s. We do have a small shot of light snow pushing in this evening. With accumulations looking like less than half an inch, it'll be done by early tomorrow morning, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies and high temperatures cooler in the mid-20s. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways and holiday fun. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Beej, we've spent a lot of time on corn and soybeans so far. Let's talk a little bit about wheat. Sovicon was out overnight. I read it in First Thing Today on Pro Farmer Service this morning. Sovicon out overnight with another lower Russian wheat crop estimate, and that wheat market just wanted nothing to do with that. I would have thought that'd been good for something to the upside.
Yeah, you know, so wheat's kind of interesting dynamic. I mean, the global side of things, we're really tightening up, tightest ending stocks in 9 years. You know, exports have picked up here in the United States. Russia's going to ship a lot less during the second half of the 24-25 marketing year. And seemingly everything is set up there. But, you know, we're kind of facing some headwinds. The dollar's strong. And so some of the competitiveness that we may gain back because of Russia's situation, we're probably not going to because of the dollar. Australia has a big crop. Argentina is going to have a bigger crop. And so the Southern Hemisphere is faring much better and offsetting some of the losses in the Northern Hemisphere and those types of things. And so it just kind of, I think, you know, we talked about corn and maybe being able to push to the upside because of the fundamental situation. We talked about soybeans being an anchor, and it feels like wheat's just kind of stuck in the middle and doesn't know where to go, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You know what? I want to back up to the soy complex for just a quick thought on what's going on in soybean oil. What an ugly market that is right now.
Yeah. I think it's like kind of everything else at the moment that's tied to biofuels. There's a lot of uncertainty out there and you know, what's going to happen. We need that 45Z guidance that definitely needs to come. And you know, it kicks in January 1, whether we get guidance or don't get guidance. And really, the longer it takes to get the guidance, all it does is push back, creates greater uncertainty first off, but it kind of maybe pushes back some decisions on what to plant, what crops will be eligible feedstocks for the credit and those types of things. And so soy oil is just kind of caught there, I think. We see rallies and then we see it back off, but a lot of volatility in that market right now.
Yeah. Okay. Again, building in a worst case scenario kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. We know that, the soy oil use for biofuels is increasing and strong, projected to get bigger as we move forward through 2025. But there is that bit of uncertainty that just continues to hang over the market.
All right. Okay. Let's go to the cattle trade. Good grief. When a screwworm enters the scene, it kind of brings a whole bunch of uncertainty to what exactly is going to happen in this cattle market going forward, Beej.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we rely on Mexico in any given year for quite a few feeder cattle imports. But when supplies are as tight as they are here in the United States, you rely even more heavily. And since November 22nd, that has been shut off. The Mexican border's been closed. And the USDA official last week, there was a report that maybe we would see a reopening of some of those coming across the border yet late this year. Then USDA corrected that, and another official said that it's probably going to be early 2025, which fits better. I mean, these types of situations, you want to make sure you're overly cautious. Much rather push it back a little bit and have the protocols fully in place and the inspections fully in place and make sure that everything coming across the border is clean, so to speak, and not have issues here. We definitely don't want the screwworm to enter the United States.
Man, I tell you what, the way the feeder cattle market has traded so far this week, yesterday with the move to the downside and just reversed it today, it was an impressive day.
Yeah, you want to talk about volatility. I mean, the feeder cattle have had that. And you know, when you look at it on the chart, since about mid-November, there's been a lot of movement, and really we've gone nowhere. You know, a lot of movement up and a lot of movement down, but the net movement has been pretty much zero. And so I think that's kind of reflective of some of that uncertainty there. And then the cash market. The cash feeder cattle have just been absolutely bonkers. You know, upwards of $15 higher last week, $10 lower, and those types of major swings in that cash feeder market.
Yep. Well, it's cash market, the fat cattle market was sharply higher last week too.
Absolutely. So the highest we've had since the week ended August 2nd, 4 weeks up in a row, and you know, just really strong market there. Tight supplies. We thought that the packer was probably a little bit better supplied going into the end of the year, especially with the holiday shortened slaughters that we'll have next week and the week after that. But boy, they chased after them despite negative margins, and it's quite the deal. That the cattle market has shown great resilience throughout the year. Fundamentally, from a supply perspective, we know that it's been known for a long time that that's bullish. The demand, beef demand, has just been really strong domestically. Now exports have struggled, but boy. The U.S. consumer has stepped up and purchased beef in a big way, despite record retail prices.
Yeah, we're not making enough. We've got to bring
absolutely.
In some hamburger.
You know, and some of this, I think, you can tie all the way back to COVID. COVID taught us how to cook at home again. Yep. And so while restaurant prices, if you look at food inflation, restaurant prices are much higher than the grocery store prices. And so what you're seeing is the consumer going to the meat counter and buying steak to cook at home instead of going out and eating steak. And so that's allowed that demand to be stronger than what you normally think.
I think you're right. I mean, why pay for the labor is what I'm seeing from the consumer. Put a little labor in themselves and do their cooking at home, and all of a sudden beef demand continues to be stronger than what we thought it might be. Cattle on feed report, what are your thoughts for Friday?
Okay, so placements are always the key in the cattle on feed reports. So that ban on Mexican cattle imports started on the 22nd, so we'll get about a week of that that came into play. The real impacts won't be felt until the report in January, which will be reflective of the December action, and that's when you'll see the placements number down, or should be down significantly because of the cutoff in the Mexican imports. So if you're looking for all the Mexican stuff to show up in this report, you're going to be disappointed. Some of it will, but not all of it by any means.
Okay. All right. Let's go over to hogs. Volatility in that market as well. And in this case, I don't think guys really mind it too much because it gives them an opportunity from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had much better price strength through the fall than you typically would. I mean, the fourth quarter is typically your weakest period, and we actually saw contra-seasonal strength in there. The hog numbers, they just didn't end up being nearly what USDA data implied in the September hogs and pigs report. So we moved through this heaviest production period, and the numbers are up, from a quarterly perspective, just not nearly as high as what USDA portrayed with their market hog inventories. I would anticipate on the 23rd, when we get the December report, that there will be some downward revisions to that past data from a market hog perspective because of that.
All right. What's your attitude in hogs? Can they go even higher?
I think that from a seasonal standpoint, we're probably going to put in a low either here late in the year, so the next week or so, or sometime in early 2025, and then you can. I'm a little bit hesitant, just uncertainty from a production standpoint. It's projected to rise 2% next year. The exports, they're expected to grow another 2.9% next year. And so I think there's some bullish aspects as we move forward. The hog market's very seasonal, and that's why I brought up the contra-seasonal stuff that we saw during the fourth quarter. That's bullish.
Yeah, well, and the way the structure of the market has got the potential for higher cash trade fully factored in. I mean, when you go from the Feb to the April, it's 83 in the Feb to 88 in the April, 92 in the May, 90, well, just call it a buck, in the June and July contract. So that's built in already.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we settled at 99.95 in the June 2025 futures today. And so right at $100 basically on that one. And we did trade above that level intraday, but we settled at 99.95.
All right. At the risk of being a Debbie Downer, give me 30, 40 seconds on cotton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So China. So we've seen some demand come in from other countries, which is a positive. But really what the cotton market wants is Chinese demand. And so there's all the uncertainty with the Chinese economy and what's going to happen there. Then you throw in the uncertainty with the Trump stuff and China and what will happen on the trade front and everything. And cotton is just really struggling at the moment. Now we are sub 70 cents in the futures, nearby futures, and that's been an area that's attracted buyers in the past. But boy, the buyers have to step up and defend that level again. If we start to erode away, then you're going to take the next step down.
Gotcha. All right, Beach. Hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning on Markets Now, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You bet.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Brian Grady, editor at Pro Farmer. Of course, for those that don't listen to the morning show for some reason, Brian is on Markets Now at the bottom of the hour each weekday on AgriTalk. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalks.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards scoring courtside seats for your favorite team.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you can score courtside seats. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but courtside seats can be astronomical. Maybe if your team plays in a smaller market, you could swing it. Even still, it's unlikely. Maybe fourth row, which are still incredible seats that you'll enjoy greatly. Savings possible. Courtside, long shot.
Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Progressive cannot guarantee that someone really tall will not sit in front of you at the game, rendering your excellent seats just okay.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Pro paint days are back at Lowe's. That means it's time to save big on your next job. Right now, get your choice of 5-gallon pails of Valspar Signature Ceiling Paint or HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Flat Ceiling Paint for just $148. Plus, get it delivered to your job site with free same-day delivery when you order by 2 p.m. Lowe's knows paint. Lowe's knows pros. Valid through 12/20. Delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Kim Tudor is a technical marketing manager for corn and wheat at BASF. Kim, we spend so much time talking about crop protection for a reason, and that's because crop protection is really revenue protection, right?
Absolutely is, Chip. You know, diseases, environmental stress, they all cost growers year after year. I think soybean diseases, we've seen they can cost roughly $45 an acre. We've seen the American soybean yield reduced by 11%. And if we're thinking about our corn acre, if we look back to 2022, tar spot cost growers roughly 117 million bushels. So it really has the potential to impact your bottom line.
Yeah, and what you're doing with fungicides is really looking to increase your chances of success, correct?
Exactly. And that's what you get with a BASF performance-driven fungicide like Veltima on your corn or Revitec on your soybeans. Our products offer more than just disease control. You get those additional benefits of environmental stress mitigation, optimizing growth efficiency, all of which is what results in our BASF brands outperforming other fungicides on the market 8 times out of 10 and the untreated acre 9 times out of 10.
Fantastic. Okay, Kim, now is the time to be making some choices on crop protection for the year ahead with the deals that BASF is offering, right?
Absolutely. As we begin preparing for the 2025 season, we've locked in 0% financing on our crop protection and seed treatment brands through March 15th.
Excellent, Kim. Where can listeners go for more information?
They can visit basf-grower-finance.com to learn more.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Kim Tudor, Technical Marketing Manager for Corn and Wheat at BASF.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with Chucklin' Chip Flory.
I can't tell you how much Hanson I listened to last week when I was off.
Is that
actually
right?
I can tell you exactly how much Hanson I listened to.
I bet I could ballpark it. I could get close.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking up at my screen here, and I'm sort of, you know, every once in a while kind of casually glancing at the news here just a little bit. Yeah. Now, yesterday we saw the NASDAQ score yet another record high. For a while there, we were watching the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ all marching, I don't want to say lockstep, but everybody moving higher, and it was pretty frequent. Oh, another record high in... fill in the blank. Oh, another record high.
Right.
So we got the NASDAQ making a record high yesterday, slipping back just a little bit today. Meanwhile, check my math on this, but I have the Dow working on its ninth consecutive lower close. Would this make nine here? It's going it's going to close
first
lower.
First things first, it's not really math. That's just counting.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know the difference. Really, there's a difference.
So, yeah, nine consecutive. And, I mean, closes below the opening range, high range opens, low range closes. The broader index has been trying early in the sessions to find some reason to move to the upside, and it just it runs out of steam. It runs out of momentum. It runs out of enthusiasm to continue to push to the upside. The S&P is just kind of treading water in here, and like you said, NASDAQ had a new high yesterday. So something for everybody.
I guess so. A little something for everybody. Meanwhile, just to make sure we run the table, crude oil down, about 50, 55 cents.
Yeah, okay, so this morning,
This
morning with Vince Malanga, I meant to go back to it in the conversation with Vince and – just ran out of time. When he said $50 crude oil, which should be pretty easy to get to, I was like, what? Which should be pretty easy to get to.
And then he just moved on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then he said, and that's going to help us bring grocery prices down, and that'll help us, and that'll help, and that'll help, and that'll help. Pretty fascinating kind of throwaway comment.
Yeah.
I guess, that we had from Vince this morning. I mean, the January crude oil is still at $70. Mm-hmm. Holy there smokes. Is. Take another $20 out of it and see what it does to costs out there. Wow. Yeah, interesting.
I like the sound of that. Yeah, yeah. Personally, I've been trying to we've been talking about the hog market an awful lot. I don't know, maybe the last 6 months, a year. I don't even know. But it seems like it's been a point of interest, more so than usual. Maybe I'm just paying more attention. I still don't feel like I have a handle on the fundamentals. And what I keep going back to is pigs per litter.
Oh.
Pigs per litter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anytime that I'm thinking about hogs and feel like I have a handle on it, there's a voice in the back of my head that goes, yeah, but pigs per litter.
Yeah, efficiency in the farrowing house, yeah. Wiping out the economic incentives to reduce the sow herd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so every time you cut the sow herd by 1%, it doesn't make any difference on the market hog inventory because we're weaning more pigs per sow. So, that's you want to talk about the economic treadmill.
Yeah.
we seem to be on one in hogs right now where every time you feel like you're getting ahead, you take a bit of a break and it knocks you back a step or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sideways market for the most part. It really
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm. Seasonally though, Brian talked about that counter seasonal strength.
Yep.
Through what we're calling Q4 now,
yep.
As being sort of aberrational, what's got into them here? What do we know at this point, looking backward on that? Anything?
Okay, I'll just say it.
Okay.
Bad survey work.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you know, we were told one thing about the market hog inventory in the last quarterly hogs and pigs report, and it just the pigs weren't there.
Mm.
That the you know, without saying it, Brian said the first thing he's going to look at in the quarterly hogs and pigs report is the revisions to the last quarterly mm-hmm. hogs and pigs report, because that's going to be the basis of change in the current numbers. You can't really react to the current numbers until you take a look at all the revisions that are going to be or should be in the last H&P report.
Yeah, yeah. You know, hogs are a little bit like votes that way, I guess. Sometimes they just disappear, like to the tune of 20 million or something like that.
Right, until they don't.
Until they don't.
Yeah.
Until they reappear. You betcha. You betcha. And then, you know, there's another circle in my head. Everybody, Bennett was talking about it. Everybody looking for a move above 450. Everybody going to sell at that point. Everybody's going to push basis right back to where it was before, if not even lower at that point. How do we deal with that, Chip?
The reaction that Matt was talking about with corn basis, you know, mm-hmm. over at Decatur, backing off a nickel, backing off a dime in Hereford, those are not insignificant moves because it is an indication that the crop is moving mm-hmm. and that end users are getting what they need. That we cannot lose track of that, okay? But historically speaking, corn basis in Decatur and corn basis in Hereford are still pretty good compared to where we would normally be at this time of the year.
Okay.
We got to continue to watch the that basis market, obviously, because any advance that we might get, it's like what we were talking about with Rick Brock yesterday. Any advance that we might get in the futures market is a potential setback in the basis market. Holy smokes, dude.
Yeah.
Jeepers, this is getting crazy. The National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, December 23rd through the 27th, has above to much above normal temperatures expected in the western Corn Belt. But even above normal temperatures in the eastern belt, you see below normal temperatures over on the east coast. Above normal precipitation also expected through most of the Corn Belt for that 6-10-day, 8-14-day, December 25th through the 31st. Above normal temperatures expected in all 50.
Everywhere.
All 50.
Everywhere.
Above normal precip also expected across most of the lower 48. Hey, we've got a farmer forum coming your way tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
This is the famous footwear that everyone has on their holiday wish list. So don't wait to make it famous. Whether you're searching for their favorite character shoes or the hottest sneakers, slippers, and boots, Famous Footwear has the newest styles from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, Timberland, and more. Unwrap Famous today and make everyone's holidays merry with buy one, get one half off at your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Steel holiday savings are here. Make room under the tree for gifts at the top of their wish list. Right now, power up the holidays with great deals on long-lasting tools. Find the perfect gift at your local Steel dealer or shop the Steel Holiday Gift Guide at steelusa.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. meeting senators for a second day, trying to drum up support to lead Health and Human Services and also getting an earful.
Republicans will want assurances that the former Democrat will uphold GOP orthodoxy on abortion. Missouri's Josh